Will Hardy, Celtics lead assistant, is going to Utah. I have a bit of a spicy take on one guy he could take with him that could really upend this whole thing for the Celtics. Plus, my number one TPE target. And talk your trash, Marcus Smart, right now on the Locked On Celtics podcast.
Be ever ready. Recognize the city of champs. Boston, baby, we do what you can't. Locked on number 18, Tatum and Brown, J-team, step back. We gon' wet that and slay teams. Of course, the Celtics, who else could it be? Screaming like KG with the Larry O.B. Corrales above average, assessing the team status. Best daily pod, no cap, salary matching. Clutch like Bird to DJ, keep John on replay. Prime time, dapping up the truth on the sideline. Raining J's, how I started, raising banners, how we finished. Locked on Celtics pod, home of the winners. B.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast. Thank you for making this show part of your daily routine. I am here for you Monday through Friday with a fresh, free podcast that drops wherever your podcasts exist. Everywhere you get a podcast, you can find Locked On Celtics. You can even find it on YouTube, which is pretty much a go-to for everybody. I shouldn't even be like, you can even find it on YouTube. Every freaking podcast is on YouTube now. So go find it there if you want to watch the show. You can see whatever you want to see in a podcast. Some people just like to watch them. So go ahead and subscribe, hit like, make your comments, feed the algorithm for me. I'm John Corrales. I cover the Celtics for Boston Sports Journal. I've written a book called The Boston Celtics All-Time All-Stars, and I was one of the media voters for the Celtics 75th anniversary team. Today's rundown. Later on, Marcus Smart spoke at a youth camp that he had been holding, or youth clinic, however you want to characterize it. Said a couple of interesting things. We'll talk about that in segment three. Segment two, we'll talk a little free agency, some of the TPE targets that we are considering. And we'll start with Will Hardy, Celtics lead assistant, going to the Utah Jazz. I keep using the term we because I got Tom Westerholm with me. Tom, what's up?
Not much, man. Fresh off a trip to the zoo. I'm ready to talk about some Celtics.
I like it. Yeah. I want to start, though. Somebody left a comment. I don't know if you saw in the comments, but your mustache, I forget who it was, but your mustache said to one of our commenters that they're getting real Portugal the Man vibes from you. Do you know that band?
I do know that band. They're not like really the type of stuff that I listen to necessarily, yeah. But I, as a guitarist, as somebody who really enjoys, very, very heavy music, as well as some lighter stuff that's in that direction. I appreciate that. Yeah, no, I'll take that. I'll take a good Portugal the Man comp. That's thank you.
On the YouTube page, sharing a photo of Portugal the Man. Absolutely believe. I don't know who that is. I'm not. Yeah. I've never heard of this band. They seem to be doing well. When you have a framed yes. record. Like that. I believe that is a platinum record. That seems to mean you're doing well. So congratulations.
Yeah, I mean, they're a rock band, you know, like, I appreciate that. They share many, many stylistic, clothing.
That mustachioed young man with the glasses and the bucket hat and the tattoos very easily could be you.
I would never wear a bucket hat, but I, again, I,
maybe you should consider it.
Whoever that commenter is, if you, get at me on Twitter, I want to give you a little,
there you go. There you go. All right. Let's talk a little bit of basketball. Will Hardy is going to the Utah Jazz. Shockingly, Danny Ainge, who is constantly around the Celtics, even though he is the head of the Utah Jazz, happened to hire away one of the lead Celtics assistants. Lots of Utah outlets have reached out and so, oh wow, what do you think? And like, yeah, it's nice. I mean, it's nice that Ime is beginning a coaching tree, which is really an extension of the Pop coaching tree. But good for Will Hardy. I never thought that he was gonna be here long. He always seemed to be a guy who was always like he was already rumored to be in head coaching searches anyway. So I think it was good that Ime had a guy with him that was comfortable. I guess the question to you, Tom, is like we saw when you watched him on the sidelines, he and Will Hardy were together like all the time. And
yes.
Will was constantly like he was in charge of like, hey, this guy's got this many fouls and then maybe we should do this. And this is something we've talked about and blah, blah, blah. Like he, while Ime was coaching the game and caught up in the game. I think Will Hardy was the guy who came over with the clipboard and was like, hey, remember, we talked about this at this point, and was like kind of supplementing that. So that actually is a tough loss.
No, it absolutely is. I think sometimes assistant coaches, can be kind of maybe even like a little bit underrated. You know, I think you can go back as far as, Thibodeau, right? When he was coaching with Doc Rivers, like, I know that, Thibodeau has had his issues as a head coach, but he was crucial, right, to building that defensive, scheme. And, you can go back to, some of Brad Stevens's head assistant coaches, like, Jay Larinaga was crucial with some of the player development stuff, with some of the, really important guys on the roster. Like, assistant coaches matter quite a bit. And Will Hardy, by pretty much all accounts, was one of the best ones, in the NBA, and the Celtics were definitely lucky to have him. I think to your point about Danny Ainge hanging around the Celtics, it's very funny that the Celtics kind of made, a big deal about, I mean, not a big deal, but Danny Ainge was part of their press releases during the finals, where it was like, look at all these, celebrities and former players and all that. And Danny Ainge was among that list. And, in retrospect, it's like, was Danny there for support, or was Danny there for business? Because a little interesting there. A little tampering may have been going on. Who knows?
Tampering in the NBA. Hush your mouth, Tom.
Look, it's spicy, but I personally, my heart of hearts, believe that tampering does happen in the NBA.
How dare you? Dare you, sir? So Will Hardy,
assistant coaches matter.
And this assistant coaches mattered to Ime Udoka. I think obviously he'll recover. It'll be interesting who he, kind of elevates or hires, or who from Portland, Oregon joins the staff. Somebody will, for sure. So that's, good luck to Will Hardy. I have a potentially spicy take.
I'm here for it.
All right. You want to know who I think could be the biggest beneficiary in all of this? You want to guess?
I would have guessed like Damon Stoudemire, but I want to hear what your answer is.
No, it's one of the Celtics assistants.
Okay.
It's a guy you've done a story on.
Okay.
Tony Dobbins.
Oh, I love it.
Tony Dobbins, I think, is the biggest beneficiary from this, because Will Hardy has to build out a staff. So who is he going to take with him? Is he going to lure any of the Celtics assistants with him? Ooh. If I were Will Hardy, I would go to Tony Dobbins, notably a favorite of one Jaylen Brown, who is notably a friend of Donovan Mitchell, who is notably a very good player for the Utah Jazz. I would go to Tony Dobbins. I'd be like, hey, buddy, you want to be at the front of my bench? Come along with me, and I will pay you as much as I can pay an assistant coach. And look, 2 more years of Jaylen Brown, his guys over there in Utah. Maybe Tony Dobbins says, hey, JB, this is actually not bad. This is kind of a nice spot over here. It's quiet. They don't bother you. The media is kind of cool. Like,
yeah.
You know? When – and then as Ime Udoka, I would be like, oh no, you're not taking Dobbins away from me. Oh no. Yep. I go to Brad, I go to Wick and be like, look, how many millions can we pay this dude to keep him and get him the front of the bench? Because you don't want him luring Jaylen Brown to Utah and his friend Donovan Mitchell and the very cool laid back nature of the media. All of whom I love. I think they're all really good. Like I legitimately, the Jazz writers might be my favorite group of other team writers. They're awesome. But it's just a different vibe over there. So I would say that Tony Dobbins could be at the center of a very interesting back and forth. And if he wasn't before, then if anybody from the Celtics is listening to this podcast, maybe he will be now.
I love this for two reasons. Number one, let's get Tony Dobbins a bag.
Like, hell yeah, man. Deserves it.
Let's get Tony Dobbins a bag. Well, obviously, this is a joke. Tony Dobbins would get his own bag because he's very talented.
Of course.
But yeah, I love it. I love it. Like, I love Will Hardy's pitch. Tony, are you sick of carrying that laptop around and just having to always, like, you know, be hunched over your laptop on the second side of the bench? How about you come to the front of the bench? Well, you don't have to be back there tick-tacking away on my bench. Look, I mean, like, Tony is, like, you know, players who work with Tony, especially Jalen, like you said, swear by him, right? Like, he's Jalen told me multiple times that, you know, Tony's just got a lot of stuff. Like, there's just a lot of, like, he's just, you know, I think he's got, like, a good understanding of, you know, and Tony was a talented player himself, you know, so he certainly has, like, a lot of things that that he can bring. I think the other thing is like you mentioned, kind of that opportunity to elevate, right? Like, you know, you get these little chances to kind of really rise in like a short amount of time in the NBA, right? Like, there's like these little moments that can really break right for you sometimes. And this could be one of them for Tony. That would be pretty cool.
And let me be clear. No, that's okay. You also what?
Oh, no, I was just going to say that another guy who, you know, I talked to quite frequently, who I think is going to be a beneficiary is Joe Mazzulla. Because I think that he, you know, like, super talented coach. He's really shown a lot. I think he'll be somebody who kind of moves up the ranks as well.
Absolutely. And I want to be clear that I in no way am insinuating that Tony Dobbins would only ascend because of his connection to Jaylen Brown.
Right.
He is a very good coach. And deserves, like we were joking a little bit, you were right. He does deserve the bag, and he does deserve to get paid, and he does deserve to move to the front of the bench. However, at the same time, he would be the guy targeted because he is very close with Jaylen Brown, and Jaylen, like you said, swears by him. And it's because of how good he is. So yeah, I think it could be a very interesting. It's just something that I'm watching.
I like that. Just
something that I'm watching because
I like that quite a bit.
Yeah. Can you imagine? But look, if you, I don't know how you just got to pony up. Today's show, by the way, is brought to you by Arcade 1UP. Lockdown Celtics is partnering with Arcade 1UP to give away three NBA Jam Shaq machines, three free NBA Jam Shaq machines. Tom, tell me that you're a big NBA Jam guy.
I do love me some NBA Jam.
Yeah. There are three of these free NBA Jam Shaq machines, full size. These guys are known for making incredible retro three-quarter scale at-home arcade games like Pac-Man, Golden Tee, and more. You can enter to win at Arcade 1UP. That's arcade1up.com/lockedon for your chance to win one of those. I would love one of those. I want to talk a little free agency.
I do.
All right. Let's do that after the break. How's that? We're going to come back in a second. And then first, I got to talk to you about Sakara. Feeling your best starts with what you eat. Sakara helps you live a healthy, balanced lifestyle and truly enjoy it with delicious, plant-rich, transformational nutrition that builds a foundation for living in your best body. Sakara is a wellness company anchored in food as medicine, on a mission to nourish your body through the power of plants. It gives you the tools you need to transform your life with their organic, ready-to-eat meal delivery program and functional wellness essentials. Their nutritionally designed, chef-crafted breakfast, lunch, and dinners are made with powerful plant-rich ingredients that helps boost your energy, support your digestion, curb your sugar cravings, that is huge, get your skin glowing. Who doesn't want glowing skin? Plus, it's all delivered right to your door, ready to eat. Sakara's functional plant-rich wellness essentials help you create a body you love living in. From their best-selling metabolism super powder to the foundation, their daily supplement packs, Sakara products are designed to support your wellness goals. Anytime, anywhere, right now, Sakara is offering our listeners 20% off your first order when you go to sakara.com/lockedon20 or enter the code LOCKEDON20 at checkout. That's Sakara. sakara.com/lockedon20 to get 20% off your first order. sakara.com/lockedon20. Thanks for making Locked On Celtics your first listen every day. Locked On NBA should be your second listen. I just recorded the podcast with Jake Madison talking about free agency, talking about Jalen Brunson, talking about a lot that's going on in the NBA. So make sure you're listening to that We got rotating hosts all week long to cover the NBA in a very fun and informative way. Make Locked On NBA your second listen. Get it wherever you found Locked On Celtics. Tom Westerholm, as we were getting ready to record, I was like, hey, do you want to talk about Alec Burks as a possibility? And you said, sure, except he's been traded. So Alec Burks has been traded to the Detroit Pistons. However, Tom, I would contend, as people on Twitter have also contended, that just because he's gone to the Pistons doesn't mean he isn't going to be available.
Yes.
It's possible that they could move him if the Celtics go and say, hey, look, are you going to waive him? Don't waive him. Just trade him. If you waive him, keep him off your books. We'll just take him. And then you can get somebody else and waive that person. Like, you can keep doing this game where you take guys into your cap space and get your picks and whatever. But I don't know who you've come up with for targets for the 17 plus million Evan Fournier exception. Burks could be one of them. I've come up with a different one. I have settled on Kentavious Caldwell-Pope.
Interesting. Okay.
As my primary target, because a variety of reasons, and you tell me what you think. $14 million, so he fits.
Yep.
1 year, so if it doesn't work, you can trade him at the deadline. You can trade him at the end. You can just let him walk. So it's not a long-term commitment. But if he does work, you get his bird rights, and you can figure out what he's worth after that and give him another couple years and see how that goes. But 6'5", can defend across three positions in the perimeter. Over the last 3 years, has been hitting about 40% from three. Seems to be kind of like a guy that can get you what he did last year. 13 points a game off of 40% shooting from three, and kind of a versatile defender. Isn't that kind of what the Celtics need?
Yeah. I mean, that's so, and I think crucially, one of the things that we learned about the Celtics is they defensively do not want to have any targets, right? Like, you know, they can then in the playoffs,
right? Yeah.
Yeah. That's a huge thing. And, you know, there's one guy who I really would want, like if I were the Celtics, that I don't think they would want, it's my lookalike, right? It's Duncan Robinson. I just think, like, I believe so strongly in his shooting, like, to the point that, like, you watch that Heat team, and even when he's having an off season last year, you know, he still shot, you know, 37% or something like that from three. Even when he's having an off season, I'm just like, every time that dude gets the ball, I'm like, everybody should be panicking trying to get to him. And I just think that, like, you know, when you got people panicking to try to get to a shooter, I just think that would help Jalen and Jason so much. However, to your point, KCP, like you said, much shorter deal. Duncan Robinson's deal is hefty. Like, you better be pretty sure that you want that guy for several years, not just this year. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that that's a big one. And then, I mean, the other guy that I think the funny thing about these TPE names is that, like, they've all been batted around by everybody who's doing our TPE lists, right? You know, I think the other guy that I'm high on it for that is Kevin Huerter, if he ever, you know, if he shook free. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, that I know, obviously, that's a guy, you know, the Celtics have had interest in the past. You know, they liked him coming out of the draft. So, like, you know, and he's very talented. I think he's a little bit underrated defensively as well. So he'd be my other guy. But KCP is interesting. You know, I guess I mostly believe in his his shooting holding up. He's been pretty good for the last, like, 2 or 3 years. So yeah, I buy that as a potential option.
Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out, like, it's so funny because a lot of people make suggestions, right? Like, today was originally kind of slated to be another mailbag episode, but the, you know, circumstances have changed a little bit. And I wrote about this, so obviously let's talk about the piece that I wrote on Boston Sports Journal. Go subscribe. It's very affordable. But I'm looking at names that fit a lot of different boxes, and it's very unsexy. It's like, KCP is not a sexy name.
Yes.
You know, actually, the name Kentavious Caldwell-Pope is, in linguistics, I think it's very... It's a very sexy name.
I think it's a deeply classy name. Kentavious.
It is extraordinarily. Like, I love the name.
Yeah.
Like, Kentavious is a wonderful name. Yes. And then Caldwell Pope is just, I just like, It just, the whole thing flows so nice, and you get such a great nickname, KCP. That's just so.
Yeah.
I think that's, the name,
that's as good as it gets. Yeah.
It really is a wonderful name. But when it comes to free agency, when you say Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, you go, oh, oh yeah, yeah. I guess, yeah. I guess that could work. Yeah. And like when we're talking about building a championship team, and you're adding to this team, you're like, okay, let's build this out. Who are we adding? And I'm like, I gotcha, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. You go, okay, sure. Like, that's not, but I also want to say, like, but that's also kind of how teams are built, yes. Right? Like, that's, you check up as many of the boxes as you can. And I feel like he's as low risk while using the tool that you have. And at the very worst, you're still kind of sort of extending the TPE down to 14 million, but extending it, you say, okay, it didn't work with KCP. John's a moron. Not surprising. But at the deadline, you can say, here's 14 million expiring to a team that is looking to open up cap space over the summer. That may, there may be bigger names next summer that some teams could want to go for. The Celtics can retool. I just feel like that's the move that makes the most sense.
It is. And I think, to your point, the Celtics don't necessarily need sexy, right? They've got a lot of like big names on the roster. Like
they've got sexy. They've got sexy.
They've got they've got guys on the roster who work, right? Like on, under that, they've got they've got Tatum, they got Jaylen, they got Rob, they got Marcus, they got even when you start going through like guys who played really well in the playoffs, they got Grant who defended Durant and Giannis. So well, I mean, it's like there are deeply noteworthy things that some of the guys that are mentioned in these TPE conversations do. Like you think of Duncan Robinson, you're like, man. But think if you just got like the best shooter that you could possibly get, or you think of Kevin Huerter in kind of the same way, right? You're like, oh man, imagine you get this this guy who the Celtics have seen score a lot of points, right? And KCP doesn't really fall into that, but like this Celtics team, I think it's very crucial to remember that they are this close. They're so close, and they, to your point, I mean, imagine they've got boxes that need to be checked. So if you can check a bunch of them, all of a sudden you've got a team that's very close with a bunch of really nice boxes checked. That should be your goal this offseason. Your goal, now that we can stop talking about KD trades and stuff like that, now that that's all in the past, you can start focusing on trying to win a championship with this core, this group that you have. And the way to do that is to check boxes with as few players as you can to keep roster spots open.
If you can get, and the biggest question is, what are the Wizards trying to do here? My reasoning for the Wizards being open to this is that they're going to be paying Bradley Beal a ton of money. And I think if they're looking for ways to improve the team around them, they're going to want to find real help.
Yeah.
And if you move 14 million out, that gets them, I want to say they're way below the tax, and it frees up room at the top at the hard cap line. Now you can go spend your full mid-level on a player that is more kind of what you're looking for over the next few years. You can kind of show Bradley Beal like, okay, KCP was nice. He's not exactly what we need. You've got him. You've got Beal. You've got Porzingis. You've got some. Maybe what you need is some other kind of fit. And so you go out and get that fit, clearing out that salary, maybe getting back a draft asset from the Celtics. That also opens up a $14 million TPE for them.
Yep.
You can say, look, we now have full use of our mid-level. We also can do a sign-and-trade. We can get hard-capped if we need to this year. And we've got $14 million to use in a trade later to get a player in. That's not nothing. I think that could be a useful team building thing for them. And all it costs them is Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, who is replaceable.
Right. Everything you just said, and then also the fact that what we just said, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope is not like a huge name. For the Wizards, who are several pieces away from a championship team, he's just so much less valuable than he is for the Celtics, who are much, much closer. Right. With, you know, shout out to Chris Granum, who might still think the Wizards are better. But
Wow. Catching a stray, Chris Granum. I love it.
My boy. I think that's another piece of it, right? It's just like KCP is a much, you know, whatever, you know, he's a much sexier name for the Celtics than I think he is for the Wizards at this stage.
All right. We'll table that because we had to stretch out these free agent discussions for, you know, well, I mean, a couple more days. We'll see what happens. Free agency opens on Friday. Yeah. You know, it's so funny. I'm in such a mood like, oh, man, we got to really stretch out this free agency talk. No, we don't. Actually,
no, we don't. Celtics played in the finals this year. We don't have to stretch anything out.
We got one more show before we do a show on actual free agency. So, all right. I'm sure we'll revisit that. And I can yell at the Celtics for not doing the things that I said. Let's come back and we'll talk about what Marcus Smart said. First, let's talk about Bet Online, your number one source for all your betting needs and sports information. For all the latest developments, league reviews, including Major League Baseball, Wimbledon's underway. Sad to see Serena go out, but you can bet on tennis. Plenty of people do. You can bet on MMA, boxing, golf, everything that's out there. It is on betonline.net, the best spot for all your scores, podcasts, news, sports wagering information, live betting, esports, all of that. BetOnline.net, the fastest and easiest way to check in on all your favorite sports and events. Head on over to the website today. You can use your mobile device however you want to do it. Everything is there. Everything is super easy for you at BetOnline.net. BetOnline is where the game starts. Please gamble responsibly. Marcus Smart was back in Massachusetts for a couple of days, running a camp up in Weston for kids, and a brief, intimate media session that included only a couple of people, Adam Himmelsbach of The Globe and Mark Murphy of The Herald. Not me, but I can read the quotes that he said to those guys. He's still obviously upset, Tom, about the NBA Finals. Shockingly, still upset. You know, can't get over it. I don't know what's maybe Smart can't let things go.
It's been so long. I don't understand. Like, yeah, can't get over it.
Can't let things go. It's been a few days.
It's been multiple days.
Now he's very clearly, you know, he's still bothered by a lot of the injuries, still second guessing a lot. And this is the interesting quote, the first tacit admission of just not having enough in the tank. I wish we didn't run out of gas. Direct quote.
Yes.
Quote, obviously those series we went through to get to the finals were so brutal, but I wouldn't change a thing about it. You hate to find your lessons in defeat, but sometimes you have to see rain before a rainbow. The rain before a rainbow thing is Marcus Smart's like favorite overcoming adversity quote. But it makes sense. And it's exactly what we were saying in the aftermath of the finals. The Celtics clearly didn't have enough. They clearly paid the price for a couple of missteps in each series prior that could have ended those series sooner and what ended up happening. And I don't know if they had closed those series out in 6-5, if possible, would that have still won them the finals? Who knows? But it would have given them the rest, and it's very obvious. They needed the rest. They ran out of gas.
Yep. To take a step into your corner as analogy, man, I feel like it's kind of like, when you're lifting weights, right? Like if you do 10 reps in that first set and you're really working to get through those last three reps, it's going to be a lot harder to get to 10 reps the next set. Congrats, you got up to 10, but like this next set, you're probably only going to have 8. And then after that, you know, if you really worked to get up to 8, you might only have like 6 in the next one. And, you know, I think it just got to a point in the finals where it looked pretty clear that the Celtics just didn't have enough reps left in the tank. And I think that's Smart's point here, right? Like, it, you know, you play seven tough games against a Bucks team that, like, you know, frankly didn't have Chris Middleton. You probably had chances to, you know, in that series, play seven games, especially against a Heat team that just really made it hard at, like, it just, and both of those series were so physical and so tough and so taxing, you know, that by the time the Warriors come around, that bench press is looking awful heavy by the time you get to game six.
I want to create analogy, man. is that might be one of the most useless superpowers of all times. Two people trying to have a conversation, and one person's like, "How do I explain it? This sounds like a job for analogy, man." I come swooping in, I make an analogy to explain it to the other person. Thanks, analogy man. Disappear.
I feel like he's perfect for the Marvel universe, just because, like, so much of the Marvel universe is, like, you know, like, action happen and then the wisecracking guy makes his wisecrack. I feel like analogy man is perfect for Marvel.
Yeah, it is a superpower, because you are explaining something, you are making things easier to explain, but it's relatively useless. And
it might be as useful as Hawkeye. I don't know.
Okay, sure. We'll go with that. I am mildly aware of Hawkeye.
Yeah, me too.
So, all right. So Marcus, yeah. And I think this is why, like, this is all just tied together with what we've been talking about. The need, we just talked about KCP and the need for a guy like that. The guy that you can say, hey, let's add 13 points to this bench for nothing, so you can get 25 minutes of a guy that can eat up some time. Maybe it's 8 minutes for Jalen and 6 minutes for Tatum and whatever. Those things matter. Yeah. Building out that bench, especially for the regular season. This is going to be something looking ahead. Those first few months of the season, it's so imperative for the Celtics bench to just log a lot of minutes. And it's almost like what this baseball season has been. Guys going five innings instead of seven, you know, starting pitchers going just, okay, you 4 2/3. All right, we're going to get the rest of the Celtics are going to be the starters from the early MLB season. Tatum, you're only going five innings, buddy. We're not going 7 2/3 and turning. No, not right now. Save that for much, much later. So the running out of gas comment is some people in the comments might be like, oh, the excuse. But I look at it as not just, it's not really an excuse, more so as it is an indication of how much help this team still needs and just how vital it is to add to their bench. So we don't get to another playoff run where you say, okay, the sheer talent can get them past a couple of rounds, but if you're taxing these guys too much, they're not going to have enough to finish. And hopefully that's the worst thing that happens by overtaxing these guys, that they run out of gas.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's a really good point, because a lot worse can happen. And it didn't really with this crew, right? Like, you know, they had their injury issues. They had guys, you know, kind of in and out a little bit, but you know, they didn't really pay for it. I think your point about Tatum, I think, is crucial, because, like, Tatum definitely, like, you know, as much as he draws some criticism from time to time, he is kind of just like, you know, he does kind of have this, like, self image, I think, of, like, a tough guy. Like, he likes to play every game. Like, he makes that a goal every season to play, you know, as many games as possible. And, like, you know, if you're the Celtics, I think you gotta talk to him and be like, listen, man, like, we appreciate that. You know, we appreciate that you want to go hard, but you're too valuable. Like, you're too good. Like, you have gotten yourself to a point where we can't let you be that. You know, we can't let you be an 82 game, a regular season player. That's insanity. Stop. So, you know, and yeah, maybe you can't be a guy who, you know, plays 40 minutes on a random night against the Magic or something like that. You know, you gotta chill out just a little bit. Like, we appreciate you, but chill out just a little bit.
Can I make an analogy?
Well, Mick, Analogy Man, please.
This sounds like a job for Analogy Man. It's like if you had
a Lamborghini. You got to put on a mustache. You got to put on a mustache and some glasses to disguise your identity here.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. This is like having a Lamborghini in the driveway and just taking it out to do all of your errands and everything. You need like a coupe. You need like a sedan. Like, okay, I'm going to take the sedan to Stop and Shop. I'm going to take that. And then when we need to open up and go for a ride, like we can take the Lambo out and drive, but you can't be taking that to Home Depot. No. You can't be running that thing into the ground. Tatum's the Lambo, man. You got to have the other more utility guys to take some of those miles off of his legs.
And sometimes the Lambo has had to drag a U-Haul trailer, and I don't think that's what Lambo's made for.
That's not what it's supposed to do. You know, that's not going to go well. Yeah. So the last thing that Smart said that I just find funny, as an avowed smart guy, when he was asked about this, but it's so funny that he says, I hear the talks about he's not a true point guard and they need a star point guard. He said, we've had star point guards, and yet this so-called non-point guard is the only one that's led them to the finals. I think right there says enough. It's just funny that he said that, because it's half true, because he was the point guard and he was a huge reason why they got to where they got.
Yeah.
But even I, the smart guy, can be like, okay. I mean, led them to the finals. But I get what he's saying. And I agree with like 90%, 80% of what he's saying there. I do think that he's underappreciated as a point guard. And I said yesterday, I'll say it all, as many times as I can. Part of what the Celtics need to do, I think, in Ime's self-evaluation next year is this whole past season was about doing more with Tatum with the ball in his hands. How about next season doing more with the ball out of Tatum's hands?
Yeah.
A little more in Smart's hands and a little bit more in Robert Williams' hands as the high post passer finding cutters, which is very, very effective. And both of those guys, they said this exact same point yesterday. Your two best passers are Smart and Robert Williams.
Rob, yep.
Those are your two best passers. They should be doing a majority of the passing. I don't think I'm out of line by saying you get the guys to do the skills that they do best. And those two guys are phenomenal passers. Use that passing ability. Not saying that you just get away from Tatum drawing two and all that stuff, but let's start mixing in Marcus Smart as the point guard and Robert Williams as the high post passer, because that's very effective.
Absolutely. Just to back up briefly, I also wanted to say, I love it. I love this quote. I know he's like, it's not, he didn't lead them, obviously. Tatum right. led them, like Ime led them, Jalen led them, but Smart helps lead them, certainly. But
of course,
I love it.
Talk He's
it.
One of the leaders on the team.
Talk your trash, man. Marcus has heard every single person saying, like, you know, he's not a point guard, he's not a point guard. All these like Celtics fans who get on him. And you know what? He's right for two reasons that he was a crucial part of leading them from the point guard position. One, I think people might disagree with me on this, but like the times when Smart did try to take over as a shooter were times when Jalen and Tatum didn't have it going. Like he wasn't somebody who was going to take shots away from them unless they were like maybe taking themselves out of the game or just struggling, whatever. Then he might start shooting some, but he wasn't a guy who was taking shots away from them. That's crucial. It's crucial to have a point guard like that on a team with two guys like that. And the other thing is that he's not a defensive target. Like the Celtics did not have a defensive target on the floor with their starters. Right. That's so important. That's so much more important. I mean, like, I think that's so much more important than having a Kemba, on your team. Even maybe a healthy Kemba. I think that Smart may have been better for this team because he's, because he's a two-way player like that than Kemba was. So I unabashedly love that comment. Is it 100% accurate? No, but is it 100% two thumbs up? Tom approved. Absolutely. Let's get it. So I think if you asked his teammates, led the team to the finals, whatever you want to say. I mean, those are the kind of things you just kind of say, and then they get blown out of proportion.
100%.
I don't think if you ask Smart who the best player on the Celtics is, Marcus Smart would say Jason Tatum, Jalen Brown.
Who's really leading the team, he'll tell you.
Yes.
But at the same time, we know that point guards lead teams to certain things. Hey, look, I'm all for it, man. I am with you. I am 100% with you. I believe in Marcus Smart. I really 100% do. And I think a lot of the critics who don't believe in Marcus Smart only see or mostly see the end result and just focus on that. Marcus took these shots, and don't sit there and say, why did he take those shots?
Right.
Did Marcus take some tough shots in the final? Yeah. There were a couple of quick ones for sure. But I think that when he's used the right way, he's phenomenal. I think he's one of the most impactful defensive players. Obviously he was defensive player of the year.
Yep.
So, but he's very impactful on that end of the floor. He is a tremendous passer. When he can actually run an offense, I think he's really, really good. I think maybe last season you go overboard with the Jason Tatum leading you and ball in his hands and all of that stuff to try and get him into that mindset. Maybe this upcoming season is a little bit of a different mix. And maybe that depends on who they sign and what can you do with your rotations, and also having Derek White from day one and a different mix, just two or three different guys on the bench changes a lot of what you do offensively, and that can help kind of lead to some of the tweaks that I think. But when I look at those finals, I just don't sit there and say, ooh, Marcus Smart's a problem. We got to fix that problem. I don't say that at all. And maybe people can accuse me of like, well, you like Marcus Smart. Smart's your guy. But I also would like to believe that I can sit there and be like, ugh, that was not good.
Yeah.
I can admit when I'm wrong and say, I like Marcus Smart, but maybe he should go to the sixth man role. No. Starting Marcus Smart is fine.
Yep.
You can get to the finals with Marcus Smart. And once you're in the finals, don't anybody dare sit there and be like, yeah, you can get to the finals, but can you win them? No, that's bull. That's bull. Once you get to the finals, you can win them.
Yep.
Right? You got to understand. Once you get there, you can win them. And if you sit there and you say Marcus Smart was the reason they didn't win, that's not true. He was part of an overall reason. He has some share of the blame pie.
Of course. Of course. Yep.
But there's a lot. And I think we've covered that. So I'm all for Marcus, like, talking his trash. I'm all for it. He's earned it. I mean, that dude has earned over the course of time all of the point guards that have come in ahead of him. I think he's earned a little bit of a, hey, I was the starting point guard all season long, and this is what happened. I was part of why we got there.
Yep.
So everybody needs to like calm down.
Yep. And I think the my last thing was the other quote that he gave to, today, I'm still here. I'm still the longest tenured Celtic. Like he is the longest tenured Celtic. He's been through all of this. He's now the longest tenured Celtic, even including Brad Stevens. If you just kind of count Brad going to that, he outlasted Brad Stevens even, So yeah, I think he has earned the opportunity to kind of tell everyone, I've been trying to be the starting point guard since I started here, and I now am. And look at this. We're in the finals. I love it.
Yep.
I love it.
I love it too. All right. I love that we're wrapping up this podcast. Hey-o. All right, Tom.
Only 44 minutes today.
We're slowly paring it down. We're getting better. We're getting that chemistry. I think we're in a groove, and then like the off season happened, and we're both just like, whatever.
Yeah.
All right, Tom. Appreciate you. Tom_NBA. Follow him on the tweets. Follow me, John_Corrales. Follow the show wherever you get podcasts, whatever app you use, Spotify, Apple, Google, whatever things are out there. If you're finding the show somewhere else somehow, just find it on your app. It's there because this is the number one Celtics podcast in the world. That's right. It's number one, top ranked podcast in the world. So Celtics. So thank you, because that's what you guys did. You made that, and you helped me do that by sharing the podcast, telling your friends, listen to the show, watch the show on YouTube. If you need Celtics coverage, Celtics talk, you got to be listening to and watching the Locked On Celtics podcast right here on the Locked On Podcast Network.